بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Today's recitation marks the completion of Surah Al-Hijr and Surah Al-Nahl. In Surah Al-Hijr, named after the rocky tracks, the location of where the people of Thamud were based in northern Arabia. Normally we find in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after speaking about the people of Aad, to whom the Prophet Hud alayhi salatu was sent, this is generally followed by the story of Thamud, to whom the people of Salih, to the people of Thamud, Sayyidina Salih alayhi salatu was sent. So the people of Hud alayhi salatu was salam, Aad, were based in Yemen, southern Arabia. Whereas the people of Thamud were based towards the north. And these both are in close proximity to the Arabs of the Quraysh. So, given that these two were bygone nations who had been punished and their circumstances resembled the defiance and the obstinacy and the rebelliousness of Quraysh, they are often cited in the Quran for the people of Mecca to take heed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, he commences by speaking about the state of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of the Qur'an and the fact that the Qur'an has been divinely guarded and protected. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the firmament, the sky, the heavens have been adorned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then proceeds to speak about the creation of insan, the human being. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this timeless war that takes place between shaitan and insan. This is a recurring theme in the Quran, because this is the source from where all defiance and kufr emerges. That kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitrah, every child is born upon the fitrah. And in one hadith, the hadith mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni khalaqtu ibadi hunafa, that I have created all of my servants as hunafa, those who are inclined towards monotheism. They are disinclined from straying away from tawheed. But then there is the ijtiyal of the shayateen. The hadith speaks about that shaitan, he ensnares them, he embroils them, and this becomes the reason for why people tend to move away from tawheed and the fitrah upon which they are born. So this enmity between Iblis and man, which is the source for all conflict that takes place in the world between tawheed and the forces of batil and falsehood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this story on multiple occasions in the Quran. Shaitan and Iblis says, I have been created from fire and he has been created from soil. And he is banished from heaven. And then he takes a vow that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him respite until the day of judgment, he will lead each and every single one of us astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes an exclusion. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. That shaitan, he also admits in this case that I will lead them all astray except for those of your servants who are مُخْلَصِينَ, who are absolutely sincere. that inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghawin. Allah Ta'ala says, you have no authority over my servants except for those who follow you from those who are astray. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about this, and then this is followed by an example of the people of Lut alayhi musallatu wassalam, upon whom we see the full effects and force of shaitan, that he leads them away from the path of fitrah, and he makes this palatable to them, even though their activities are completely against the course of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the system of procreation in man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about the people of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the people of Ashabul Hijr. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. These are the people of Thamud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the Qur'an once again. So the Qur'an is spoken about at the beginning, and the Qur'an is once again referred to at the end of this surah. That وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have granted you seven from among the Mathani. The Mathani is often translated as the oft repeated, or the surah of seven verses which is repeated frequently, and this is a reference to Surah Al-Fatiha. And depending on the derivation of the word Mathani, some ulama suggest that it comes from the root of repetition. Some suggest that it comes from the root of excluding istithna. And each one of these derivations, they have a justification. That the surah, Suratul Fatiha, it is repeated in every cycle of the salah. Or istithna, it is an exclusive surah. And we find in some reports that the likes of Suratul Fatiha, such a surah was not revealed in the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and it is the exclusive jewel of the Quran, that a door from the heavens opened which had never opened previously, and such an angel who had never previously descended came down with this surah. So this surah is very unique, and the entirety of the Quran is subsumed within Surah Al-Fatiha, to the extent that it is reported from Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed many, many scriptures and revelations, and all of these are contained within the four main scriptures: the Torah, Zabur, Injil, and Quran. And all of these are then contained within the larger surahs of the Qur'an. And then the entirety of the content of the larger surahs of the Qur'an is contained within Suratul Fatiha. So this is the comprehensiveness of Suratul Fatiha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have granted you sab'an min al-mathani, seven from the oft repeated. And we have granted you al-Qur'an al-azim, the magnificent Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the latter part of Suratul Hijr, he gives consolation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. For the initial period of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission in Makkatul Mukarramah, the da'wah was private. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to announce and go public with the da'wah. فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ. Announce that which you have been instructed with. So, naturally as a result, the enmity, the defiance, the resistance now begins to grow against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the stories are replete in the books of Seerah as to these early years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hardship, the torture, the very testing and trialing circumstance that and the very testing conditions and circumstances that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they tolerated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions then in this surah that وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُ. We know very well that your heart or your chest, it becomes constrained and it tightens and you feel a sense of great dejection. You feel dejected that the things they are saying, they are very hurtful. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that your chest is becoming constricted because of what they are saying, meaning the mushrikun and the kuffar of Mecca. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Be patient for the decree of your Lord and be from those who prostrate. Why? Because أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that a servant is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is in the state of prostration, the hadith mentions. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. That worship your Lord until yaqeen comes to you. Now the ulama, they explain this variously. That continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until certainty comes to you. So some explain that the certain thing here is death. Meaning continue, remain steadfast upon worship until death overtakes you. Meaning until your very last breath, do not let the obstacles and any hindrances, do not let them impede you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or other mufassirun explain that continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until yaqeen, certainty comes to you, meaning actual certainty, yaqeen, conviction. And this is explained in the hadith that through excessive ibadah, a person draws so close and near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith mentions that من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب وما تقرب إلي عبد وما تقرب عبدي إلي بشيء أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That a servant does not draw near to me with anything better than that which I have made obligatory upon him. Meaning through the fara'id, it is not possible for an individual to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way better than he is able to do so through the fara'id. And then the hadith mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. Then my servant continues to draw nearer and nearer to me through nawafil, through these optional actions and performances, حَتَّى أُحِبَّ, until I begin to love this individual. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. When I begin to love this person, I become the hearing through which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. The sight through which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. The hands by which he seizes and he holds. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. The feet by which he begins to walk. وَإِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. If he then asks me for anything, I most certainly grant it to him. وَلَئِنَ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks protection in me, then I will grant him that protection. So this very difficult state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is being given a remedy through excessive ibadah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite how busy his schedule was, the entire day was spent in da'wah. And in the Madani period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an entire Muslim state to take care of. Yet the ulama explained that standing in Qiyamul Layl for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wajib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was obligated to stand in Tahajjud Salah. That despite all his preoccupations during the morning, his one-to-one connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this had to remain through the entirety of his life as a prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. Why? Because this is the spiritual fuel by which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to then conduct his affairs during the morning. That wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Continue, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the conviction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that proximity and the reality of all realities, it becomes more and more transparent to you. Continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the instruction to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what we learn in this surah and from these latter ayat especially is that the antidote and remedy to a state of dejection, that the sorrows of the world and any form of tribulation and tests that a person undergoes, who could be more severely tested than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We explained a few days ago the hadith, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. That the most severely tested people are the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And this is the remedy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provides. So this is the conclusion of Surah Al-Hijr. Then we commence Surah Al-Nahl. And very briefly, Surah Al-Nahl, it focuses quite largely on the creative power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His various signs in nature, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of the various forms of vegetation, fruit, our livestock, our sources of comfort, our clothing. Many, many signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bee and how the bee is also programmed to follow a set of orders and it is inspired to pursue a path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of honey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks in this surah about the defiance of the mushrikeen and their objections against the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites a number of examples. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا عَبْدًا مَمْلُوكًا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمُ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites a number of examples in this surah to compare the state of iman and kufr. And وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the analogy and amthal frequently in the Quran. Number one, because of their accessibility, and because analogies make things much more vivid and easier to understand. And secondly, because analogies have distinct perspectives from which they can be understood. So when you compare two things, one individual may understand one aspect of the comparison, whereas in the same analogy, an individual may understand a different perspective. And had the same thing been communicated in plain terms, only a single perspective would have been extracted. So this is one of the other utilities of deploying amthal and analogies in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these time and again in several surahs in the Quran. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the latter part of Surah Al-Nahl, He speaks again about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. That he was a stand-alone ummah. He was a nation in his own right. This is the position and the stature of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And why? Because we have explained previously that his methodology in communicating the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engaging His people and being able to communicate the message at different levels for different people, this is the exemplary form of da'wah. And in Surah Al-Nahl, what we are seeing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laying out His signs in order that those who are in dispute with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikun, may come to heed the message. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the perfect example of somebody who is able to take the sign and thereafter contextualize it and be able to offer it in a way that becomes accessible to the people he is communicating with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes the surah by speaking about how da'wah should be done. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'idati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hi ahsan. Call towards the path of your Lord with wisdom. And al maw'idati al hasana, good counsel. Wa jadilhum billati hi ahsan. Debate and argue with them in the best manner possible. All three methods an individual, depending on the context, should utilize the correct one. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he exemplifies the perfect individual who is able to straddle the different methods of da'wah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes the surah by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are muhsinoon, those who are on the path of perfection. Meaning that these people of taqwa and these people of ihsan, yes, in the world, they may have to face hardship. And it may seem that the outward forces are with the non-believers. However, on the day of judgment, where taqwa and ihsan will matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance is with the people of taqwa and the people of ihsan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us from among the muttaqeen and the muhsineen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us from those who are salih, and that He raises us among the pious predecessors and the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu.